You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
One thing that's so beautiful about the way that God works is he takes people that are on the outside and brings them on the inside. Anybody ever been on the outside and God brought you into the inside? I want to talk about that because it's so amazing how God works with that. No matter what mistakes that you make, no matter what your past looks like, no matter where you were born or where you came from, God can work with you. God can redeem you. It's interesting to me sometimes when I hear people say, well, you don't know my life. You know, I don't know if God can use me in that way. Or my favorite is, I've just seen too much. I think God takes it as a challenge on his redemptive power when we say things like that, because there's nobody beyond the place that God can redeem them. And so I want to talk to you about God's redemptive power, and specifically that God is God brings the outsiders in. I want to take a look at the book of Ruth today. So in your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Ruth. Some of the story I'm going to just give to you, but you can follow along with us. And the title of the message today is Outsiders to the Promise. Outsiders to the Promise. Say it one more time with me. Outsiders to the Promise. Before we get into Ruth, we have to know where Ruth comes from. Ruth is from Moab, and she is the relationship between Israel and Moab is tense. They oftentimes were in conflict, fighting with one another, at odds with one another. Moab was definitely on the outside, and anybody that came from Moab was on the outside. People from Moab were not allowed to enter the temple. Their practice, their worship was detestable before God. And so these people were on the outside, and we have Ruth and what her story was. She starts on the outside. Not only that, she has tragedy. No, tragedy is not new to us. Everybody's gone through some tragedy, but she has some particular terrible tragedy that happens in her life. Her father-in-law dies, her brother-in-law dies, and her husband dies. So now she's not only starting on the wrong side of the tracks, she's in the midst of this tragedy. She is lost her love, she's widowed, she's lost her safety, and in this type of culture, a husband represented your financial stability, and so she lost all of that. And Ruth is trying to put the pieces of her life back together. Anybody ever tried to put the pieces of your life back together because you just went through a major hurricane? And so this is Ruth. Ruth is at that place of tragedy. She's an outsider to God's promise, and she's trying to pick up the pieces. And one person that she has in her life is Naomi, and she decides that she's going to lean into this relationship with Naomi. And when God brings somebody into your life, you need to take notice of that. Lean into that relationship. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. She finds this relationship in her mother-in-law, and she begins to lean into her. If God brings you a relationship, you need to be asking yourself the question, what do I need to hear? What do I need to learn from this relationship? Yes, you can learn from a peer. Yes, you can learn from a mentor. But definitely, if God has brought somebody into your life, you need to be asking yourself the question, what do I need to hear? What do I need to learn? And so Ruth begins to ask herself this question, kind of ponder, why is Naomi in my life? As she leans into this. Sometimes we're listening to people that shouldn't be in our lives, and we're not listening to people that should be in our lives. Sometimes we need to take account of who is in our lives and make sure that it is God that has connected, or God that has brought someone into our lives. Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help you in time of need. Make sure you know what a friend looks like, all right? A friend is someone that comes when you have the need. Somebody that is in a covenant relationship with you, somebody that is a divine relationship that God has brought into your life, they're going to have something to add to you in the time that you need. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. I think it's sometimes we don't know what a true friend is, and so we surround ourselves with people that flatter us and people that make us feel good instead of somebody that's going to give us some criticism that we might need in that moment, or may give us a hard truth that we might not be ready for, but we really need. And so the wounds from a true friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be surrounded by sincere people that sometime might hurt me in the moment, but save me in the long run, than be around people that make me feel good right now in the short run and hurt me in the long run. So wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Relationships are tough sometimes, but better to go through difficult seasons with a true friend than go through what you might think is good times with somebody that really doesn't have your best interest. Surround yourself with intentional relationships, and that will help you grow. Surround yourself with intentional relationships. When we look at the life of Christ and how he brought the disciples to himself, it wasn't haphazardly. He didn't say, hey, just come and we're going to do this thing. He prayerfully and by the Holy Spirit selected these men, selected his companions, so that he would be able to do what he needed to do, that they would be able to do what they needed to do. He was intentional. Look at somebody and say, be intentional. And I love this. From time to time, Jesus would even do a check to make sure the right people were in the group. And John 6, he actually said, at this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. John 6:66. But then he turned to his disciples and said, are you guys going to leave too? He checked to make sure the people that were in the group were supposed to be in the group. Sometimes you need to take a look at your group and make sure the group is the right group. If there's somebody that needs to not be in the group, or there's somebody additional that needs to be in the group, Jesus shows us how to pick companions. So we have Ruth. She's gone through this tragedy. She leans into this relationship with Naomi. It's important to have somebody speaking into your life. When they got to Israel, Naomi was speaking all this wisdom into Ruth's life. Do this, do this. This is how the culture works here. And so she was speaking wisdom into Ruth's life. Find a man, find a woman of God, or find a couple that can speak the word of God into your life. Learn from them. Ruth joins herself to Naomi and begins this journey. Titus 2 talks about this. Older women teach the younger women. This whole concept of those that are further along in the faith teach somebody that's just getting their legs in the faith. Find somebody that's been down some roads that you haven't been down and connect yourself with them. That's what we're talking about with this business form, the House of Josephs. Connecting with the right people. Connecting with somebody that can speak some wisdom. Because you need both peers and mentors. Peers and mentors. Because there's mentors that can speak some wisdom into your life that a peer could never speak into your life. And then there's some times that you need a peer, because a mentor is never going to be able to spend the time with you that a peer can. I've heard something from this generation that I really believe is holding them back when they say, you know, I don't know you well enough to kind of open up to you. Let me tell you something. When God puts a mentor in your life, it doesn't matter if you know them. You need to open up your ears and hear what God is saying. Because God will bring some people into your life sometime that don't have time to go to the movies with you. And don't have time to go to Starbucks with you. But they have the word of God for you. So if you got 5 minutes with them, if you got 15 minutes with them, take that in. Let God direct you. God gives us both peers and mentors. Recognize what God is doing and embrace it. Celebrate it. Don't try to turn a peer into a mentor, and don't try to turn a mentor into a peer. Amen? So many people, they're going to advice, going for counsel from a peer. They know the same amount of information as you do. What are you doing? Some people are upset because their mentor won't spend with them hours and hours and hours. Let me tell you something. Be glad that they're in your life. They may not have been sent to go to the movie theater with you, hang out at the beach with you. No. They were sent to enhance your destiny. Celebrate who God sends you. Turn to somebody and say, make sure God connects. We have to make sure that the relationships in our life, that God connects. It doesn't mean that we don't love everybody. The Bible instructs us to love everybody. The Bible instructs us to be friendly. But the Bible also says that how can two walk together unless they be agreed? There are certain people that God, you strike covenant with, covenant relationship. And those are people that you have to know that God has brought and God is connecting you. I've seen this happen too many times. Proximity relationships. This person is your neighbor, so they're your friend. This person is your coworker, so they're your friend. You need to know sometimes proximity holds us back. With Ruth and Naomi, it may look like it was proximity at the beginning, but it definitely was divine in the end, because you see, Naomi was going all the way back to Israel, and she was not going to be next door neighbors with Ruth anymore. It had to be a divine thing. Divine connections, like it says, iron sharpens iron. There's going to be friction there sometimes. Sometimes they're going to make you feel uncomfortable. Sometimes they're going to wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, let's go work out. It's time to work out. Remember, you promised we were going to work out. Or they call you at 7 o'clock on Wednesday and say, hey, 6 o'clock on Wednesday, say, hey, we got to get to church. We need to grow. They call you on Sunday morning. You're about to sleep in and watch Sunday morning cartoons. And they say, we need to get the word of God in us. Relationships. Recognize when God is doing something and respond. Ruth sees God doing something with her and Naomi. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be proximity. Watch out for proximity. Proximity is oftentimes the counterfeit to what you need anyways. Ruth has to go all the way to a different country to get what God has for her. But here's the thing. Ruth makes this prophetic statement when she's striking covenant with Naomi. Some of you guys didn't see this in the word, but this is her striking covenant with Naomi. Are you ready? Ruth 1:16, Ruth replies, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I don't think she even knew how prophetic that statement would be. I don't know that she totally understood, but she was speaking by the Spirit about her destiny. She was speaking prophetically in that moment because she got in connection with the right person, and the Holy Spirit got on that, and then the Holy Spirit got on her, and then she started to prophesy over her circumstance and prophesy over her future. She didn't know that she was going to be the great grandmother of King David. She didn't know that. She didn't know that she was going to Bethlehem, the place that Jesus would be born. She just connected to the right person and said, I'm going to listen to what God is saying in this moment. I'm going to respond to what God is doing. In that moment, she didn't realize, but she would eventually remarry and become part of Israel's legacy. Connect to the right people. Turn to somebody and say, connect to the right people. Connect to the right people. This is so important. I like the end part there of Ruth 1:16, it says, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Can I tell you this? Before you get into relationship with somebody, you need to know what their people are, who their people are. Because sometimes you can think one thing on the surface, but then you look at their people and their people are doing something completely different. And there's an old saying that says, birds of a feather flock together. You can tell a lot by who's hanging out with that bird, right? I'm looking at that person, but I'm also looking at that their friends. Who are their peers? Naomi, Ruth says to Naomi, your people will be my people. Some people you get in relationship with, you get in covenant with them, and it opens up a whole nother vein of relationships that you need to get to your destiny. That's why you need to connect with who God tells you to connect with. Because when you connect with that person, even if it doesn't look like on face value, they could open up doors to other people that's going to enhance what God has called you to do. Your people will become my people, and your God will be my God. The Moabites did not serve and worship Jehovah Jireh. They had gods of their own, and they did sacrifice, a lot of times human sacrifice, and so this stuff was detestable to God. But she said, your God will become my God. When we get in relationship with somebody, and I mean covenant, like a real relationship with somebody, a lot of times their God becomes your God. So what happens is, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. If you get in relationship with the right person, you got some synergy on the fact that God is your God. But if you try to get into covenant with somebody that they got a different God, it's going to cause you problem. I just brought up two men of God that said we use business as a tool to do the work of God. But you see, if you get in a relationship with somebody that their God is money, then your God might become money because you're now in covenant with that person. Your God will become, so that work, it can work in your favor, it can work against you. That's why we have to be connected to the people that God calls us to be connected to. Some people are in your life just to minister to. Amen? I'm just there to witness to them. I'm just there to love on them. I'm just there to encourage them. I'm not there to be in covenant with them. Know who God sends in your life and why they're there. Is this somebody you're ministering to? Is this somebody that is a covenant peer? Is this somebody that's a covenant mentor to you? Know who is a divine relationship. Because sometimes now the enemy will send some counterfeits there too. I've had relationships that God brought into my life and they opened up so much, so many things to me. Destiny, information, revelation, open doors. I've had other people in my life that they were some frustration to me. Amen. They were some, they gave some advice and some stuff. It was confusing. It's about knowing how to define by the Spirit who is in your life. You got to know when to hold on and to when to let go of different relationships. The scripture says this, and I want to give you this revelation. Deuteronomy 3:16, or 31:6 rather, says that I will never leave you or forsake you. So if you love the Lord, God isn't going to forsake you. But the relationships in your life can either bless you or frustrate you. They can either accelerate your ministry and accelerate your destiny, or they can hold your destiny back. They can frustrate your destiny if you got the wrong relationships. There's a quote from the movie Tombstone, and Doc Holliday says, it's an iconic statement that he says to his girlfriend and business partner. He says, dear, we need to redefine the nature of our association. And sometimes we have to redefine the relationships that are in our life for our good and for their good, oftentimes. Sometimes you need to redefine. Look at somebody and say, redefine. God is incredible, though. He looks at Ruth's heart. not her past, not her background, not the fact that she was born from Moab. He looks at her heart. Anybody glad that God looks at your heart and not other things? So God looks at Ruth's heart, and he's looking at your heart, not your past failures, not your shortcomings. God is looking at what's in your heart right now. God is looking at the right now. I love the scripture, James 4:8. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Or draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. I believe the way that God works is the closer that we get to God, the more we press into God, the more our past is in our past and God is our future. When we draw near to God and God then draws near to us, our failures, our shortcomings become less and less important, and his abilities, his capabilities, his promises, his prophecy over our life becomes more important. As we move closer to him, he moves closer to us. Our previous identity moves into the background. Our new identity becomes evident. You see, Ruth walked into a new identity because as she drew closer to God and the people of God, she took on a different identity. She was no longer Ruth from Moab. She was Ruth from Bethlehem in Judea. Amen. Get close to God. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark at different times and seasons of our life. But when we press into God, the focus becomes him. And the sins, the shortcomings, move into the background. We don't wait till we get everything right and all our ducks in a row to come to God. That's ridiculous. He's the one that helps us get fixed. We don't wait. We don't tell God, wait. I've seen people tell me, well, just wait till I get myself together. You're not going to get yourself together. God is the one that gets us together. It's time to draw near to God, no matter what's in your past, what's in your background, what shortcomings you have. It's time to press into God and let God, what he's doing right now, become the most important thing, and what's going on in your life becomes secondary. Take on a new identity. Say it with me. Don't wait. Press into God. Don't wait. Draw near to God. Draw near to him. And he will draw near. It's a silly thing to think that we can fix ourselves. I want to call some of our prayer team up, and everybody, you can stand up with me today. I believe God is the God of the outsider. God is the God of the broken. God is the God that fixes the broken places of our life. Will you just close your eyes with me for a moment? I don't know what you're going through today, but God does. And maybe you need prayer today. Maybe it's about what we talked about here. Maybe it's about something else. God wants to touch you. God wants to connect with you. God wants to draw close to you today. He's an awesome God. He's a redeemer. He can redeem you. He can redeem things in your life that you thought were gone or passed away or broken. He's the God that refreshes, restores, brings back to life. As we sing this next song says, draw me close to you. Can I tell you that he is exactly what you need today? He's exactly what, whether you know it or not, he's exactly what you need. Maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you need a fresh touch from God today. As we sing this song, you can come.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.